There are a lot of great rivers around and in and near Wisconsin. Of course, the Wisconsin River is one of our great rivers here in the state. But I don't think there's a river that has more of a fabled history in this country, at least, and an image than the mighty Mississippi. Hi, Larry Mueller here. For 20 years, Big River Magazine has been covering issues affecting the river, and they also highlight the countless ways to enjoy it. Reggie McLeod is the editor and publisher of Big River Magazine, and he joins us from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in La Crosse. Reggie, great to have you with us today.
Good morning, Larry. Great to be here.
I was really, really pleased that you could join us today in this 20th anniversary. I want to mention to our listeners that you may be a fan of the mighty Mississippi. If you are, I hope you'll join in. Maybe you have a favorite place to go for wildlife sightings, or maybe it's for the water sports, or, you know, the one cultural and history, culture and history really play such a role with the river, and that's something that I also enjoy about it. And there's lots of great places to stay and eat and drink, and, of course, we can talk about all that. So join in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a question, comment, or maybe you got a nice photo connected with the Mississippi River. Post that on my Facebook page. That is at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. So, happy 20 years.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Man.
Sometimes it seems like it's been a lot longer, and sometimes it seems like it went by awfully fast. It depends on the day.
Yeah. Did you ever expect you'd still be doing this 20 years ago?
Well, I was generally thinking about the next couple of months, I think, most of that 20 years.
Oh, man. Isn't that the truth? I'm telling you. But, yeah, you look back and say, where did the 20 years go? Man,
yeah, it's been a good gig though. I've enjoyed most of it.
Yeah,
a lot, actually.
How did it? You know, just because it's been 20 years, let's go a little history here. How did it come to be? And what do you think is the key to its success so far?
Well, I had been doing a lot of freelance writing since the early '80s, and I wrote for the Milwaukee Journal and Sentinel back when they were two papers.
Yep.
And a number of other publications in the area. And I was always trying to figure out a way to do a river story so I could get out on the river with someone who knew a lot about it and ask them a lot of questions and maybe get a boat ride out of it. And my editors caught on to this right away, and they were saying they'd say things like, well, gee, we had a river story last month, you know, and things like that. And I realized a couple things. One, that it wasn't getting covered as well as it deserved because it's a border. So it's at the edge of a lot of territories, and people think of it as an edge. And I felt there was a need to have a publication that saw it, put it in the center. And also I thought it would be a good thing to kind of tie a lot of different elements about the river. And you mentioned, you know, the historical aspect and the environment and the wildlife and the recreation and those sorts of things. And I wanted to show how those things affect each other as well as covering them, because they're all connected up, especially on the river.
It's really, really great, and you do that. Maybe I'm sure people who aren't familiar with Big River Magazine, and you really just talked about what you cover, the whole gamut of things relating to the Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, and people constantly ask me if they haven't seen the magazine. They say, is it environmental magazine? And I'll say, yeah, but it covers everything else that has to do with the river. We've done a lot of articles about development, actually, over the years, too, and business, even. So we do a lot of history in the winter because I think people like to read history in the winter and they don't like to get out and water ski in the winter. So
I think you're definitely right about that. We've been doing this show together for, I'm trying to remember how many years. It's been a while.
It's been quite a while. It's probably almost 20 years.
I'm pretty sure it's that you've been on off and on for the last 20 years. Because I was thinking about the first editions as I was looking at I've got in front of me, I've got your March, April, and also I actually have your January, February issues from 2013 in front of me, and I'm looking at the layout and the nice color and the great photography and the glossy, and I'm thinking, man, that's a lot different than what it looked like when it first came out.
Oh, yeah. I have the first year here next to me, and we were just looking at it before the show starts, and it started off as a six-page black-and-white newsletter.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and we were having to paste it up, and this is before we had computers to do it on and all of that. So it's gone through a lot of changes over the years.
It has, and contributors. You've had some for a long time, but some come and go, too. Who are your contributors?
Well, the ones right now are Pam Iden, who's been a contributor since the beginning. Molly McGuire, she started in the first year actually, and she's the managing editor. And then we have a couple newcomers, Captain Bob Deck up in the Twin Cities, who's a river pilot, and Connie Cherba down in Dubuque, and Dean Klinkenberg, who lives in St. Louis, but he comes up and does a lot around the Quad Cities for us. And we've had Kenny Solway has been a contributor, in fact, and I know he's been on the show with me and by himself.
Yeah.
And he published his first stories in Big River before he became a film star and celebrity. And The Last River Rat, if anyone's seen that book heard Kenny speak. And in fact, I did a news story on him before I started Big River. I was the first journalist to write about Kenny, so... Yeah, some of these folks have been with me since before the beginning, I guess you could say.
Have they, let me see, let me rephrase this. How have the stories and issues that you cover changed over the last 20 years?
You know, some stories haven't changed, and we enjoy doing, the history doesn't change that much. We can write a little longer and have some color photos, but... We've tended to have a lot of different historical stories. Some of the issues have changed, and that's good and that's bad. When we started the magazine, it was really unusual to see a pelican on the river. And bald eagles are still kind of rare. And now they're both quite common, and that's
a good
great.
Thing.
That's really wonderful. Yeah, so we don't have to write about them very much anymore because they're fairly common. But other things have changed a lot. 20 years ago, zebra mussels were a big deal, and they were just getting into the Mississippi River and spreading, and no one knew what sorts of problems they'd cause or what expense or how to deal with them. And they have caused a lot of problems, and they continue to, but now that seems old hat, and everyone's writing about and reading about the Asian carp coming up the river and trying to anticipate what the effect from them is going to be. So you have kind of the same subject, invasive species. You just have different actors, I guess, in that case.
We have callers online and some Facebook comments as well. But let's go to Ed in Reno, Minnesota. Thanks for calling, Ed.
Well, thanks for having me here. And hello to you all, and it's a wonderful topic. I just... The magazine is just a wonderful piece of material with a broad base of perspectives and views of the river use, and I think it's just a great asset. And Reggie, a longtime friend, is just a wonderful guy as far as what he does in relation to awareness of the river. And my hat's off, and I just think it's a great topic for your show, too.
Oh, well, Ed, thanks a lot for calling. Reggie, comment?
Yeah, thank you, Ed. And I love to go down there fishing by the spillway in Reno, actually. I'm just working on a story on great trails along the river for the next issue, and I thought of several places around Reno. So it's good to get a call from Reno right away.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Ed, for calling. Appreciate it very much. And, you know, just kind of along with that, just looking here up on Facebook comments, Gene commented, to say that Big River magazine is excellent. The most important point is that it is the only magazine I'm aware of that highlights the Driftless region.
Yeah, And we have been trying to be more conscientious about that lately. We had focused on the river, but the river's at the center of the Driftless region, and we've been trying to be more deliberate about that. But even further, as far as we can tell, we're the only independent magazine about a river anywhere in the world. And if anyone comes across one, let me know, because I'd like to steal some ideas from them. But we've looked and looked, and we can't find another one. And I don't know if it's just not a very good business model or if it's because of the way we think about rivers, again, at the edge or dividing things. But we think it's important to see rivers at the center of things. And I think, by and large in the world, people are thinking more in terms of watersheds, and that's kind of a river-centered perspective that we've always promoted.
You know, the river is, as you well know, is so beautiful. And I'm looking now at my Facebook page, the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and there are some photos. Gene's got one taken standing at Eagle Mountain in Ferryville, Wisconsin, overlooking the Mississippi, looking north toward the sun. Oh, man, it's just a lovely, lovely photo. And then there's Gene has one as well from, again, from Eagle Mountain, but then looking overlooking the Mississippi River, looking south toward Linksville, and like a totally different picture entirely. I mean, you know, it's like, well, is that from the same place? Uh-huh. But it's they're really wonderful, really wonderful photos.
I look forward to looking at them, and feel free to post them on the Big River Facebook page, which is Big River Magazine. I love the overlooks, and I'm looking forward so much to getting out and hiking around on some of them pretty soon. And one thing that has changed a lot, too, is the internet, the way we can interact on Facebook, and we've created a map that started off marking all the really great overlooks on the Upper Mississippi River. It's called the Big River Travel Map. And since then, we've added longtime advertisers are on there, so people, if they're looking for a restaurant or a place to stay or something, that makes it a little easier. And I'm in the process now of adding boat landings, starting with boat landings that are access points for marked canoe trails on the river. And I'm also going to start adding more of the trails along the river, too. A lot of them are on there already, but we're trying to get a bunch more of those on the map this spring. So that's kind of fun to be able to share things, and people can be out in the woods with their smartphone, which I find kind of irritating sometimes. But it's
it's part of life.
There's nothing I can do about it, but we're trying to take advantage of it, I guess, a little bit with this travel map. I kind of leave those things behind usually when I go out on the river or on the woods.
Reggie McLeod, editor and publisher of Big River Magazine, and of course, a magazine devoted to the Mississippi River. And as he said, it's the only magazine he knows of that is devoted to a river. He joins us from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in La Crosse. If you have a question or comment about the magazine or about the river, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us a photo and question at my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, or post a question but via email at talk@WPR.org. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at about 11:45 today, we'll be taking a look at bioenergy crops and a look at the importance of biodiversity, not only in agriculture, but maybe even in your back lawn. A couple of guests from the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center will be joining us then. Right now, though, we're visiting about the Mississippi River with Reggie McLeod, editor and publisher of Big River Magazine, celebrating 20 years this year, joining us from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in La Crosse, and Jim in Lake City, Minnesota, joining us here. Jim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry. Yeah, Larry, we just moved this winter back to Lake City, Minnesota from Greenwood, Wisconsin, and of course, Lake City is right on Lake Pepin on the, in the Mississippi River Valley here. And I just wanted to point out one of the places that's near and dear to my heart from when we've lived here before is Frontenac State Park, which is just north of us on the river here in a fantastic overlook of the Mississippi River, a great park and an outdoor space, really, is what it's designed to be. I've been involved there for a long time, but for a real outdoor experience for visitors and a lot of hiking trails and so on. But anyway, and I just wanted to say that, you know, this valley, the Mississippi River Valley, is one of the great flyaways for migratory birds, and that'll be starting any time now. And just it's really an exciting place to be in the spring of the year. And as a matter of fact, I just called, and we're going down to lunch at Pier 4 in Alma, the other side of the river, which just opened recently for the season. And that's a cool little place to get something to eat, and it's right alongside the lock and dam and about 5 feet away from the railroad tracks. and it's just a neat place. The overlook in Frontenac State Park is a spectacular place. And I mean, you can sit there and dream about the French and their canoes and the paddle wheelers coming up and down the river and everything. It's just, there's some gorgeous overlooks there. And, just wanted to point
that out.
Pass that out.
Yeah. Oh, Jim, thank you so much for calling. Reggie, you got a few things there you can comment on, I'll bet. Oh, wait a second. Here, now you can comment. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Lake Pepin is great, and there's another really great park by Lake City. It's just a city park, the Hoxilla Park, and they have a wonderful beach and a little harbor there, and we've been kind of talking to them. We might try to do some kind of festival in the early fall there with music and carp for people to eat, and who knows what else. But there's another new overlook right across the river there on Maiden Rock. Maiden Rock Bluff is that huge rocky bluff that you see just about everywhere. And Lake Pepin, you can see Maiden Rock Bluff. And recently that became a state natural area that the Wisconsin DNR takes care of. And that's got a spectacular view of Lake Pepin as well. And you can see Frontenac from there. And it's a wonder. And they're restoring the prairie up there. That's really a nice place, too.
Mm-hmm.
And where was that restaurant you mentioned, Jim?
No, it's in Alma.
And it's called what?
It's called Pier 4.
Pier 4, okay.
Yep, little restaurant. They have they have a smokehouse and stuff, so they're known for that. And so kind of a fun place to go. They're only open until, I think they close at 2 in the afternoon or something like that, but a good place. But but you're right about Frontenac, about restoring the prairie. Been a really big push to get that prairie restored, and there's a beautiful area about 400 or more than 400 acres that's been restored on the bluff top, and it's a wonderful, it's a beautiful place.
Jim, it's a pleasure to have you call. Sounds like you're really happy to be back to Lake City. We're happy that you called the show today. Really appreciate it. Thanks again.
And I saw my first swans yesterday driving home from La Crosse. I saw a couple pair of swans sitting on the ice, and it's like the Pier 4 opening, just another sign of spring here on the river.
And Tad from Ontario, I wonder if it's Ontario, Wisconsin, said that for all the birders listening, the Mississippi is full of migratory waterfowl right now. And he's right about that, I think.
Yeah, they had the eagle at the Eagle Center in Wabasha, Minnesota. They have been having events every weekend this month. And I guess there were really a lot of eagles around there last weekend. It's a good time to see eagles on the main channel. And when the backwaters thaw out, they kind of move back into the backwaters. But that hasn't happened yet. So if you want to see eagles, now's the time.
Now's the time. Virginia and Colby, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. My brother had a houseboat. He has since sold it. But in 1994, he took it down to Demopolis, Alabama, and spent the winter on it. And then in first part of April in 1995, my husband and I went down and came back with them to La Crosse, and it was a fabulous trip. It was like, well, I think we left Demopolis on the 7th, and it was the 27th when we got back to La Crosse.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Hey, Reggie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... There's people don't realize a lot of times that the stretch of river from, well, really below Lake Pepin down to the Quad Cities, down to Davenport, Iowa, is all a National Wildlife Refuge. And that's pretty much all public land. And you can camp on most of that land for free. You don't even have to register or tell anyone you're doing it. There are a few rules about, you know, having glass on the beach and how long you can. I think you can stay 3 weeks in one place. But by and large, it's open, and there are few places in the world probably that are that open where you can just knock around and travel or camp or pull your boat up and stay there for a while. It's pretty remarkable for that.
And that's a pretty long stretch there, you know?
Yeah, it's about a 250-mile stretch, I believe, for the refuge.
That's
amazing. It is.
Really?
I can't get enough of it. I had a boathouse for, a houseboat for a few years, and that was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was really great.
And I've had quite a few friends. Actually, you can rent houseboats, and, you know, kind of if you know what you're doing, I've got quite a few friends who have done that and really enjoyed their time on the Mississippi.
Yeah, and if you don't know what you're doing, they'll help you out. They'll take you for a spin and kind of show you the ropes and make you pretty comfortable with it.
Yeah. You know? Thanks again, Virginia. John in Cross Plains. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm enjoying the program. I'm very active on Facebook with a number of other people, and we're trying to revive the Julia Bell Swain out of La Crosse. And I don't know. It's been under private ownership, and apparently they weren't doing very well during the recession, but it's been in dry dock now, I think, for 3 or 4 years. And I'm hoping some nonprofits will get together and maybe pick it up as part of a historic trip boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering... What, if you knew any more about that, or if it's maybe do an article.
You know, that's a good idea, and we've done a number of articles on excursion boats, and the Julia Bell, I mean, I shouldn't have a favorite as a journalist, but just between you and I, John, the Julia Bell's my favorite boat on the river, actually, and it's not on the river, and I agree with you, it should be. It's over on French Island here by La Crosse, I believe, still. And it's pretty expensive to run. And actually, a friend of mine who was a pilot on it for many years has a houseboat nearby. He kind of keeps an eye on it. And he'd like to see it back on the river. A lot of us would like to see it back on the river. And contact us if you can. If we can give people an address of a group that's trying to pull something together to get it back out there and running, we'd be happy to put a news piece in Big River about that and maybe get some more supporters to help you out.
Sounds like a good plan, John.
Well, thank you. Really appreciate it. Yeah, the other thing, I was wondering, you mentioned Frontenac. Is that a state park?
Well, Frontenac is a state park. Frontenac State Park is on some bluffs on the Minnesota side at Lake Pepin, which is just a wide part of the Mississippi River. But there's also two towns of Frontenac. One is what they call Old Frontenac, and that's right over by the river, and you have to drive off of Highway 61 to see that. And it's a beautiful town with very nice older houses. It's just almost a place to go sightseeing, and you don't notice it. There's countless interesting places off the main road along the river, and when I take trips, I often plan these little diversions to explore different ones, and Old Frontenac is one of them. And then there's Frontenac, I think it's Frontenac Station, but there's a small settlement right on Highway 61 as well, near Old Frontenac. So there, when you say Frontenac, you could be talking about three different places, but they're all very close together. They're all in the same vicinity and not too far from the river.
Mm. John, thanks a lot for calling. And you know, as long as you know, John may not subscribe to Big River, and we've had many people saying, well, how do we order the magazine? So let's get into that a little bit. Of course, people can go online.
Yes, we're at bigrivermagazine.com.
Mm-hmm. And we actually have a link to our on my Facebook page as well.
Okay, great, great. And they can call us toll-free at 1-800-303-8201, and operators are standing by. But so you can also call with questions if you like, too.
Well, so it's 1-800-303-8201?
Yes.
We'll post it. We'll put that up, too. I don't know if Judith probably already has it up on the Facebook page, but if not, we'll post that. So, again, it's 1-800-303-8201. I know some people wanted to be able to call to order. So there you go. There you go.
Great.
And Jerry in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Jer. Jerry, are you there? Did I do something? I don't think I did. Let's try Dan in River Falls. Dan, are you there?
Yeah, I am. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I haven't seen you for a while. I want to recommend a book about the Mississippi, a little-known book, if I can. It's called From Bluffs to Bayou, and it's by a man named Byron Curtis. He lives in River Falls. He owns the bike shop there. And he kayaked in about 2000 from the St. Croix confluence to the Gulf. And there's a lot of these books that have been written, and a lot of them are self-aggrandizing and grandiose. And his is just a modest little book about a Wisconsin fellow that took a summer and kayaked all the way down to the Mississippi. And it gave me personally the best feel for the Mississippi that I've ever had.
And give us the title again, From Bluffs to Bayou.
Yes.
And the author?
Byron Curtis.
Byron Curtis. And
yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for calling, Dan. And Reggie, are you familiar with that book?
Yes, I read it and we reviewed it. And I've read a number of books like that. A lot of people see that as a quest to travel down sometimes the entire length of the Mississippi, often in a canoe or kayak, but sometimes in some bizarre crafts like, you know, paddle boards. There were a couple young women going down the river from the Twin Cities in a houseboat that was pedaled by bicycles hooked to a paddle wheel that could get up to about 1.5 miles an hour, I think. That we were getting pictures all down the river from men, mostly, who were taking pictures of them. we could really keep track of them from the office because pictures were coming in almost every day.
Did they make
that one? No, I don't think they did. I think they got down around the Quad Cities. I don't know if the first season, and I don't know if they went back. But what we do to facilitate that a little bit is we have a web page on our site where if the people who are doing this have a Facebook page or a blog or a website, we post it on this one page. And not only can people in their homes keep track of it, but they often use it to keep track of each other. And we've heard stories where two of them were kind of keeping an eye on each other, and they both end up in La Crosse at the same time or in Davenport at the same time, and they get together and have a beer and talk about their experiences and all of that.
That's cool.
Also, yeah, some of them also make videos, and there are a couple of guys from the Twin Cities, musicians, that went down to St. Louis and did a video. They're called the Okie Dokie Brothers. And the name of the video and CD they produced is called Can You Paddle? And that won the Grammy Award this year for the Best New Children's Album.
Oh!
So, and it's really great. I highly recommend it. I watched it on St. Patrick's Day with three kids and about four adults, and we all had great fun watching it.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds just wonderful. Dan, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks both of you for the good work you do.
I appreciate it very much. Well, I think we've got Jerry back from Dubuque, Iowa. Jerry, hi.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
Great. Good to hear your voice. What's up with you?
Well, we're just, I want to say, Reggie, I'm such a big fan of your magazine and a good friend of yours, so I want to congratulate you on your anniversary. I think it's just wonderful what you have done and continue to do for the Mississippi River.
Great. Thank you, Jerry.
And, you know, you were talking about that raft that those boys bicycled down. Before they made their journey, interesting story, one of the mom of one of the boys called me and said, you know, well, we know Jerry Ensler from the National Rivers Hall of Fame and the Museum and Aquarium, and we think you should have a motor. And the boy said, no, we're not going to have a motor. And they said, well, let's leave it up to Jerry. And so she told me this and then said, now get on the phone with my boys. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what a responsibility. So I tried to be like Solomon. I said, well, guys, I think you better have a motor, but you don't have to turn it on unless you get into an emergency. But I'd hate to see you in front of a 15-barge tow, and, you know, you can't pedal fast enough or the current or the wind is taking you, and, you know, you better have a motor that you could engage whenever you need it. So they made the journey fairly far down, but not all the way down, and down to the Gulf. And then they brought their bicycle raft to the museum in Dubuque, and we had it for many years.
Well, that's
and kids could actually get on it and pedal the bike and watch the little pedal wheel turn.
How's the museum and the aquarium going, by the way?
Oh, it's going very, very well. This is, you know, since we're talking about anniversaries, the 20th anniversary of Big River, this is the 10th anniversary of the museum and aquarium. And we hope to have our 2 millionth visitor this year, which would be just grand to be able to celebrate that, you know, during 2013.
Oh, and Reggie, of course, you know Jerry and have featured the museum and the aquarium.
Oh, yes. We've done a number of stories about it, and I was just down there visiting with him a couple months ago, and I'm looking forward to the huge show they're going to have on turtles that I believe is opening this spring, and I might be that 2 millionth visitor when I go down to see that.
Well, I hope
do I get
you
a
are.
Prize? Do I get a prize if I'm the 2 millionth visitor?
You do, Reggie. One of the components in the prize will probably be a subscription to Big River.
Oh boy, that'd be. I was hoping I could get one of those big turtles to ride to work or something.
Yeah, you get something. Well, we've opened the turtle exhibit. We opened it 2 weeks ago, and it's had an enormous reaction. We've had spring break, and we've had 1,000 people a day for Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays for the past two weekends. And, you know, 400 or 500 during the week. Tomorrow we have, I think, 370 school children coming in just in the morning and having lunch with us and seeing the turtle exhibit. So it's a great, great success, and it'll be here through the spring and summer. So we encourage everybody to come in and see the turtles. We have the largest number of turtle species ever collected under one roof at this particular time here at the Museum and Aquarium in Dubuque. No one else in the world has a larger collection of turtle species on exhibit right now.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, we should post your museum and the aquarium up on our Facebook page. Judith, can you do that? Yeah, she's shaking her head. Of course I can.
Wonderful.
Well, she'll do that. You know, and Jerry, I was thinking about you and also Reggie. The person that the three of us kind of had in common was Jim Packard. Because Jim, Jim was a big fan of Big River and was also a big fan of the museum and the aquarium. So,
yeah, Jim was a great fellow. Yeah.
Yep. So, well,
yeah,
Jerry,
I miss talking to him.
Yeah, he was a great guy, and certainly loved the aquarium and loved Big River magazine talking about it. So, Jerry, I thank you very much. We'll post that up on our Facebook page, the museum and the aquarium. What a neat thing to be able to see all those species of turtles. Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Larry, and congratulations again, Reggie.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks a lot for calling in. Carl in La Crosse. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning.
Speak of the devil.
Yeah, mentioning the Julia Bell Slane in the river, I'm I'm a longtime reader from back when it was a mimeographed newsletter, and I've known Reggie for a while now. I think one of the comments that Reggie made was real important, that instead of making the river a dividing line, the magazine is about being the center of the topic. Is the center. The river is the central figure, and I think Big River is a great resource. Everything from restaurant and book reviews to information about biking trails and canoe trips and little out of the way spots to go, which is what I like to do, and I think a lot of people enjoy that. So I use it as a resource, and I think Big River has just been a great magazine to have over the years for its variety of topics. So congratulations, Reggie, and remember, we'll have that cup of coffee down on the stern deck someday.
Okay, great. Sounds good, Carl. Thanks.
Carl's a riverboat pilot, eh?
Yes. Yes, he was a pilot on the Julia Bell Swain, and he's the guy who's keeping an eye on it. So hopefully he'll be out there at the wheel again before too long. That would be nice.
That would be wonderful. Well, we've got I want to go back to the magazine again, and he did a nice job of kind of describing so many things that are covered in the magazine. And I want to let people know again, because once again we're getting some questions. How do you subscribe, or where do we get copies of it and all that? And let's go back over that.
Sure.
Reggie. So,
well,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. You can call 1-800-303-8201.
Okay. 1-800. Well, let me do that again. 1-800-303-8201.
Or go to our website, bigrivermagazine.com, and on there you can go to the travel map we talked about, and you can go to the page that has information about people traveling down the river. There are books about the river, a lot of resources, and you can subscribe to Big River on that site as well.
Yeah, and it's, I think, a nominal subscription for what you get, that's for sure.
Thanks.
Are you guys doing a little celebrating, or are you going to have a cup of coffee or something stronger along with a nice meal, or what are you doing for this 20th anniversary?
I'm afraid to mention beer on this show. Last time it happened, we got cut off. But, we're kind of celebrating it all year, and if we can pull together this festival, we've talked about doing some kind of public event this summer, and it might be a small festival in the fall near the river, and there will be carp served, and there might also be some locally brewed beer as well. There, now I've said it. Let's see what happens.
Well, Reggie, it's always a great pleasure. As I think you and I have been doing this show almost the entire length of time that you've had the magazine going, so it's been a lot of fun. And not that this is the end. Let's hope there's another 20 years we can talk about.
Oh, at least.
All right. Thanks, Reggie.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. I enjoyed it.
Appreciate it very much. Reggie McLeod, editor and publisher of Big River Magazine, joined us from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in La Crosse. And you know what? There's a lot to do on the river. You can go see the river. River's running strong right now. But you know what? We're kind of hoping for spring to hurry up a little bit. Gardening, planting, that's another activity that I'd like to get involved in once that warmer weather gets here. Coming up, we're going to visit with some folks from the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center. And they will share some information about how bioenergy crops can fit into the larger agricultural landscape. And we're going to talk also about the importance of biodiversity and how it's important to any agricultural planning, and, you know, even planning, doing a little planning about your own backyard or your own, where you live, Biodiversity is kind of important for that part, too. I hope you'll stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.